Welcome to a very special unscripted wrestling podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Hummer. Hope everybody had a great holidays and a Merry Christmas. We are going to be doing a WCW roster tier list from about 95 to 2000, pretty much their peak and their downfall. We're going to be talking about a lot of guys here. I'm with my usual roster of teammates here. I'm with my brother, Doug.
You.
Our good friend, Stevie.
Hi.
And good friend Eric. How's everyone doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Can't complain. Can't complain, guys.
Clintus may be joining us later on. We're not sure yet. Depends on how long we go.
Yeah, Clintus might be joining us later, but we'll see. Before we get into it today, you want to get some plugs out of the way, Doug?
Yeah. First of all, I just have to say, for anybody, we had been advertising that we were going to do Super Tape Volume 1 all week. Unfortunately, nobody wanted to watch it. So we decided to do something that we actually all would enjoy, which is this. So, I mean, still, you know, RIP to Zeus Tiny Lister, who we were going to tribute tonight.
Yeah.
You know, it's unfortunate, you know, what happened to him. But, yeah, Super Tapes just wasn't like – nobody wanted to sit – I definitely didn't want to sit through three segments of the Bushwhackers after unfortunate incidents last week. All right.
Exactly.
Anyways, bugs, listen to Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday and Friday night, Mixlr.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. They can be found on all major podcast platforms. Using around 10:15, 10:20-ish Eastern time right after wrestling. Listen to them. They're good dudes. Boxman actually gave me my start in podcasting. So it's his fault. Yeah. And he also appreciated mine and Eric's wedding. Just kidding about that. I mean, he did give me my start in podcasting, but Eric and I, you know, are not married. So anyway, that's what we tell people. All right. Also, listen to us every Friday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. BlogTalkRadio.com/everythingunscripted for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. This upcoming Friday night, we will be doing a Royal Rumble, and it looks like we might be reviewing Royal Rumble 1991. Yeah. Which actually is something that I actually do want to watch. So,
cool.
Also, Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern time. So tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern time, Daniel's Controlled Chaos episode. Do we know what we're doing yet?
Yes.
Okay. Now would be a good time.
We're going to be talking about the disappearance of Marilyn Monroe and everything surrounding her murder and death.
Really?
Yes.
Research. All right, so listen to that. That's going to be interesting. There is actually HBO did like a movie or something about it like 20, 25 years ago. I don't even remember what the hell it's called, but it was an HBO original movie. All right. Also, Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Eastern time, listen to Eric Clinton and I do the NFL Hard Hits podcast. This Tuesday, we're going to review week 16, preview week 17. Also, look for us on the Patreon, on the Patron. Patreon.com/capital E capital U podcast. Got some great episodes up there already. We will be doing another history lesson this time on Batista. All right, that's all I got.
Nice.
All right, guys.
Thanks.
All right. Excuse me. So the WCW roster tier rankings. This one's going to be a special one because WCW, I think, has had probably more icons come through its doors than anywhere besides WWE, right, Doug?
Yeah. Here's the thing, and especially around this time frame, Bischoff had no problem signing guys that were like big names other places.
Yeah.
And especially, like, when we get into, like, when they started, like, the World War III's and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, especially around, like, 96, 97, 98. Especially more 96, 97. He was bringing in guys because, again, and I've talked about this before, he had, like, six television programs, you know, in 95, 96,
97.
Yeah. Nitro, Saturday Night, Worldwide, Pro, Main Event, and Prime.
Yeah.
Okay? So he needed all those guys. He needed as many guys on the roster as possible because he had six, you know, TVs to fill. And you can't have, like, Sting on six, on all six programs in 1 week because that's oversaturating Sting. So you needed all these guys. And this is around the time where Bischoff realized if you had a name somewhere, then, you know, people are going to want to watch you.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's start with someone who did kind of come over because he had a name for himself. By the way, our five tiers, legendary, very good, middle of the road, meh, and garbage. Now, the first name I'm going to put up on the list, and I'll throw it to you first, Stevie. Scott Hall.
I'd probably say legendary.
All right, Eric.
Yeah, I would say legendary because of what he did with NWO.
Yeah.
That changed professional wrestling. At least that era.
I'm going to just say very good. Just on Eric, quit breaking dishes. Just because he wasn't able to be legendary because of his addiction problems, you know, in like 97, 98.
Yeah.
And especially in 99. So he could not get to that legendary status.
Good point.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm going to say very good with you, so we'll probably end up putting him on the borderline. But I feel like he is somewhat legendary for all he's done for the business, especially WCW.
Yeah.
Because even though everyone tries to blame him for going down, I do think one of the reasons it really went up was because of Scott Hall. So
I think he turned the ratings around.
Yeah. And he was very good in that tag team role with Nash. And he didn't need to be the main star. I think that makes him legendary in his own right, but we can put him on the borderline.
Okay. I mean, and the thing also with with Scott Hall, too, is it was more like, I mean, he was the main guy in the NWO that could work.
Yeah.
That could take the bumps, because, you know, Nash wasn't bumping.
No way.
Nope.
Wasn't going to bump. I don't think Hogan ever took a bump. Hogan is a bump. But, yeah. I mean, no. So, Scott Hall, and he was a great promo, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, and I'll start with you, Doug. Tell us a little bit about Bam Bam Bigelow.
When he came in 1998, it was a shock. Because here's a guy that just, like, the night prior, the week prior, it was like 8 days ago, or 8 days prior to him showing up. Bless you, by the way. 8 days prior to him showing up on Nitro, he was in the main event of the ECW November to Remember pay-per-view. So he was more, so like, it was a surprise for him to be there. And he just, you know, but like as far as I'm going, as far as, like, his run goes, I would probably say it was a very good run. because he had the deal with the New Jersey Triads, and he was part of that hardcore division, had all those hardcore matches.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was inconsistency in the booking, kind of, but I do think they did a better job of pushing him as the monster he is than WWE did.
Yeah. I mean, they used him more, though, for the hardcore matches, like, especially in 2000.
So where are you putting him?
Very good.
Stevie, what do you think?
I'd say very good.
All right.
He had one of the best hardcore matches, I think.
I'd say very good, too.
Is that real?
Good job. Which hardcore match are you saying was one of the best ones he had?
I think in WCW. I can't pick a match off my head, but
okay.
He had some hardcore matches.
The matches he had, the hardcore matches he had with Knobs and WCW were really good.
Especially I agree.
Besides him, that division was kind of, it wasn't WWF's.
No, it wasn't, but, Knobs tried, Finley tried, Bam Bam Bigelow tried.
Yeah.
Norman Smiley was just a joke, but he was entertaining to watch, to be honest with you.
Eric, what do you think?
I'll say very good.
All right, put Batman very good. Let's move on to one half of an iconic tag team. I'm not going to put him with his tag team member just because the guy he was in the tag team with, obviously, has a lot on his own merit to judge. So let's start with Stevie Ray. And I'm going to start with you first, Eric. What do you think of Stevie Ray, the other half of Harlem Heat?
I'll say mediocre. Without Booker T, I think he's okay. Are we talking about just singles, right?
Well, no, tag team, just basically his whole career. So you can judge what he did with Harlem Heat, too.
Okay, so I would say very good, because Harlem Heat is one of the best tag teams in WCW history, in my opinion.
Okay. I mean, yeah, that's fair. I think it was always Booker, especially in Harlem Heat.
Yeah.
He was a big part of the team, and he was a big muscle guy. I think when he kind of broke off and did the stuff with the black and white dog, it didn't really connect as much. But talk to us about Stevie Ray.
Okay. Stevie Ray couldn't work. I mean, it's good as Booker. I mean,
he was an okay, serviceable enough big guy. But
I mean, he was a good enough big guy, and he can – I mean, he was very powerful. I mean, but this is a guy that can't do a fucking pedigree. This guy's pedigree is actually worse than Marty Bell's pedigree. Marty Bell, of course, is a women's wrestler. I think she's still with the NWA. But she was god-awful. Or still god-awful. Stevie Ray, though, however, could cut a really good promo. And he was a good muscle guy. I mean, they tried, like, singles runs with him, like the GWF, in, like, 93, I think it was. He was their world champion.
Was he really?
No, he was their... It was either the GWF World title or the GWF North American title, whichever it was. I mean, he was their top guy. He was their champion. Now, and this was back, like, he was still, like, new. And they, strapped the rocket shit to him, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
My opinion, he needed Booker.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I really hate to say this because I actually do like Stevie Ray.
Yeah. I mean, Booker was the charismatic one. He was the entertaining one. He was obviously going to be the star.
Right.
But Stevie did, I mean, he played his part, and he played it well.
I mean, the black and white stuff he did was pretty, I mean, he had no business being on in that main event at Fall Brawl 98.
Yeah.
Like, you had
okay,
DDP, Piper, Warrior.
Yeah.
Okay, one team. Luger, Sting, Nash, another team. Hogan, Bret Hart, Stevie Ray?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
One of these things just doesn't...
Yeah, and I'm not... And I'm not, you know, trying to be mean to the guy. It's just he wasn't, like, at that spot yet.
Yeah, not in that echelon.
Not yet. I mean, they rushed it. So I'm just going to say middle-of-the-road mediocre.
Okay. Stevie, what do you think on this one?
Well, in tag teams, I'd say very good. But when it comes to singles wrestling, he wasn't that great. So I'd say for tag team, very good.
Yeah, because we're putting it all in there.
Okay.
I'd probably go middle of the road with you, Doug, so we can put it on the borderline.
Middle of the road and very good?
Yeah, because I do think he is.
Yeah.
Harlem Heat was very good. I don't know if it was majorly because of him, but... He's definitely going to go down in tag team history.
I mean, I'm happy for him that he got inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I am too.
I mean, he 100% deserved that.
All right, Dougie. Now we're going to do kind of, we're just going to do a tag team. Because I don't think you really need to separate these guys. Tell us about the Public Enemy.
They were coming off a hot ECW run.
Yeah.
And when they got there, here's the thing. Bischoff stole a lot of the talent from ECW. Well, wasn't even really stealing. Bischoff just agreed to pay the guys, which is more than what they were getting from Heyman. So, bringing them in, it's just like, okay, they come in and they're automatically, they're not baby faces, they're not heels, they're kind of tweeners or whatever, because they're working with the Nasty Boys, they're working with the American, but they could work like both like sides.
Yeah.
I remember one time on a Nitro, they opened up a Nitro, they were facing the Blue Bloods. Dave Taylor, Lord Regal, or Bobby Eaton and Dave Taylor, or two of them, right?
Yeah.
And so they did that, and they worked as baby faces there. But then the next week at the Bash at the Beach, they were working heel against the Nasties. But they could do both.
Yeah.
I liked them. I would call them a very good tag team. You know, like their best work may not have been in WCW, but they were fun, and they were fun as hell to watch, especially their stuff with the Nasties.
I mean, they were better here than in WWE, that's for sure.
On WWE, they did not like. But the thing is, though, is that when they went back to WCW in '99, it was more just like nobody cared.
Yeah.
Like they showed up, and everybody was just like, you know what? Fuck these guys. They left us. Why are we welcoming them back? They can go to hell. I mean, unfortunately, that's the way it is.
Very good tag team, though.
Yeah.
Stevie, what do you think about the Public Enemy?
I'd say very good. I mean, they did good work in ECW, but ECW, they had, I think, some of the best matches, so I'd probably say very good.
Okay. Eric, what do you think?
I think very good, too. They were an underrated team in WWE.
Oh, yeah, very underrated. Yeah, we can put them in very good. I kind of feel bad doing that to Stevie now, but...
Oh, Stevie Ray?
Yeah, because I do think Harlem Heat was probably a better team, but...
Public Enemy, I mean, they are very underrated. All right, next up, I'm going to start with you on this one, Eric. Big name here, EDP.
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 One of my favorites in WCW. So, I'll say legendary, because from what he started with, and then the rise he took was amazing. He was over with the fans, and he should have got better. He should have got probably a WCW title run with a world title, but to me, he's legendary. When you think WCW, one of the names you think is EDP.
He did win the world title, though, Eric.
Eric, he's a three-time champion.
Oh. My bad.
Oh, good. Yeah, I agree. DDP is very legendary. He was the people's champion. Especially us going back and watching some of these old Nitros, Doug, you really see his ascent to greatness.
Yeah, well, it's hard to ignore. It's hard not to see it. Because, again, 95 starts out and he's just this bum that, you know, basically sponging off a woman for $13 million. 96 comes around. I mean, then, you know, he loses a match where he's gone from WCW forever, but then he comes back and he's reinvented. And then in, like, the rise in 97. And the matches with Macho Man, that's what put him on the map. Is those matches with Macho Man. So I'm going to say legendary just because he is a legendary WCW superstar. I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there that don't like him.
Yeah. But as far as WCW, he is the top of the top.
Yeah.
Stevie, what do you think?
Yeah.
I'd say legendary. I think some of the matches with Randy Savage, like, put him over. So I'd say legendary.
Okay. Yeah, put him in legendary. I totally agree with that decision. All right, Doug. Mr. JL, Jerry Lynn.
Oh, God.
I had him in a mask here.
The getup they put him in, I don't know what they were trying to do. But whatever they were trying to do, they failed. They failed miserably.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he did have decent enough matches. Like, when he got put in there with the right guy, like, you know, we talked about when we did the pay-per-view retrospective on Halloween Havoc. The match he had with Sabu wasn't bad. It was just short.
Yeah.
I mean, he's had really good matches with Malenko, Conan, you know, Eddie.
But this is a guy where, when you think of Jerry Lynn, you don't think of
WCW. You don't think of his WCW run. So the run as a whole was meh. And I like Jerry Lynn.
I would probably agree with that assessment, though. He's kind of a fly on the wall, not really very important here.
Right.
Doing okay work, but that's about it. Meh is a good place for him. What do you think, Stevie?
I'd have to say nah. I have to say nah to that one.
All right. Eric?
Yeah, I would say meh. I mean, his WCW run doesn't compare to his ECW run. So.
Exactly.
He was just one of those guys, and I talked about it earlier. Bischoff was just signing guys just so he would have them for his sixth television program.
Well, yeah, you even think of some of the jobbers they had. They turned out to make money.
Yeah. I mean, they came in just because they knew they were going to get a check. I mean, Jerry Lynn has even said, my WCW run sucked, but had to make money.
Yeah. Pretty important. Let's talk about a luchador. Moving to Guerrero. Go ahead, Doug.
When he started out in 96, it was just kind of like a mediocre run. But the rise really started to come in like 98, 99.
Yes.
When they took the mask off him, he's one of those guys to where it was okay to take the mask off.
Yeah.
Okay.
He didn't need it.
He didn't need the mask. I mean, it's Mexican tradition, so you can't say that the luchadors didn't need the mask because it was tradition.
Yeah.
But Bischoff also was – Bischoff was one of those fuck tradition kind of guys.
Yeah.
But Juventud, I think, got better when the mask was off.
I'd actually agree with that.
But the worst part of it, and this is where his run kind of goes downhill, when he started calling himself the Juice and started imitating The Rock.
You remember that?
But he would say the wrong city.
Yeah, yeah. You remember when he started doing that?
Yeah. Here's the thing. He wanted to be on commentary, right?
Yeah.
You can't understand him. Oh, good, we're getting robbed. Although, if we were getting robbed, he wouldn't ring the doorbell. But, no, I would say, to be honest with you, just going by like 98, 99 alone, or especially 98 alone, I would say that the run was a very good run. Started out as mediocre, turned into very good, landed and then ended in meh.
As a whole,
I'd probably put it middle of the road. Yeah, Stevie.
Probably say middle of the road. So. Yeah, I would say middle of the road.
Okay. Eric?
I say meh.
Okay. Daniel?
Very good.
All right, so Stevie and I said meh. Eric said middle, or no. Stevie and I said middle of the road. Eric said meh. You say very good.
Middle of the road.
Yes.
Yeah. So middle of the road sounds good. I really liked Tuvi. I thought out of all the luchadors, he was not – he was one of the top to me.
Well, if he would have left in 98, like early 98, early 99, then, yeah, his run would have been very good.
The Juice stuff was stupid.
The Juice stuff is what
– I kind of blame booking, though, because that's when WCW was trying to basically emulate.
Oh, no, it was Russo doing it.
Yeah. Because that's when they were
– Well, I got it.
Go ahead, Stevie.
What do you think about his matches with Chris Jericho? I thought they were good.
Amazing. His matches with Jericho were amazing.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah.
To me, that's what put him on the map. I mean, he was already kind of there, but
yeah,
I loved his matches with Jericho.
So did I. It was just, unfortunately, again, it's bad booking. It's not necessarily his fault, but still.
So he's at middle of the road then?
Mm-hmm.
Medusa. I'll start with you, Stevie. Medusa.
Medusa.
I'm having a fry.
I'd probably say very good. Because she, I think she had a good run in the WWF as the women's champion. So I'd probably say... very good.
Well, remember, you know, this is going on her WCW run.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Well, she had a good run in WCW. I mean, she started out as a manager, I think, in 92.
Right.
And then she left.
Again, though, Stevie, we are going from 95 to 2000.
95 to 2000?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say she had a good run. I mean, I'd say very good. I'd say very good.
All right. I'm going to disagree with you a little bit, and mainly because when they brought her in, I really don't think they had any plans for her. They brought her in, I think, just because, you know, she had nowhere else to go, so she asked to come in, and here she is. They had nothing, you know, planned for her. except for just trash a title.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's it. So I'm actually going to call her run meh. Stevie said very good, by the way.
I can see if she would go down kind of a legend. Maybe not in WCW for me. I'm actually going to go middle of the road on this one. What do you think, Eric?
I'm going to agree with Doug and say meh. I was going to say garbage, but I'll say meh to be nice.
Okay. All right, cool. So that'll rise Medusa up. Or no, that'll... So we got two mehs, one middle of the road, and one very good.
Where is she?
So maybe on the
board.
So we'll
say middle of the road.
Yeah, we'll go middle of the road. All right. Next up, a very good energetic Pro Bowl. We're going to start with you, Eric. What do you think of Conan?
All right. He was entertaining. I mean, he was entertaining, especially in the Wolfpack. I mean, that was maybe one of his probably better runs in WCW. So I would say middle of the road.
Okay. I'm honestly not a Conan fan, never have, never will be, so I'm going to put him at meh. His stuff's never done anything for me. I get he's captivated a lot of people, so that's good. But and I understand he's got an okay promo, but not really for me, so I'm going.
When he started in 96, he was actually garbage to me. He's in there. He's U.S. champion. Nobody gave a fuck.
Yeah.
And then he loses to Flair, and one of Ric Flair's actually, I swear, and not you can't really say this about Flair, but this is actually one of Flair's most worst matches.
Really?
At the Bash at the Beach 96, because it was just like, the match was awful. You know, Flair can work with anybody, but not this asshole. I mean, when they put him in the Wolf Pack, it kind of raised him up a little bit. And then they put him...
Yeah, that's right.
And then they put him with the Filthy Animals, which was kind of, you know, you didn't know if they were fucking baby faces or heels.
That's what I want.
But the run as a whole, I'm just going to say middle of the road.
All right. Conan.
I'd probably say middle of the road.
Okay.
I really wasn't a fan of his, so.
All right, we don't.
Have, lost off.
Yeah, looks like we don't have too much love for Conan on this show. That's okay.
I spent a lot on the Rayman show, shit talking him, so.
I don't like him anyway.
And I don't even remember why I was shit talking. I think I was just doing it just because, well, I mean, if you listen to the guys on the Rain Man show, I was doing it because I was racist, but I don't think that's it.
No, that's it. Put him in the middle of the road, Doug, whenever you're not busy. And next up, let's talk about a guy that was only here for like a cup of coffee. A lot of people might not even remember he was here. So that's why I'm going to start with you, Doug, because you're good to start with. Stuff like that. Stevie Richards. He's only on the flock, WCW's flock, for a couple months, right?
Well, yeah, because he came in with Raven. So when Raven came in, it was a deal. Todd Gordon, Raven, Stevie Richards, Bill Alfonso was supposed to be part of the deal. Wasn't. And then he was part of that WCW flock, and it wasn't memorable, but I do remember the clash match he had with Raven, which I actually thought was pretty good. I mean, and if he would have stuck there, he didn't stay long because he felt like he betrayed the people in ECW.
Yeah.
And he wanted to go back there because he realized, you know, hey, you know, I do have affection for these people. And he felt like he probably couldn't get, you know, any further than where he was with the BWO. But the run as a whole was just kind of a – it was just kind of a mad run. Mainly it's just because it was short.
Yeah, there wasn't enough time. Also, I think Stevie Richards has always been a vastly underrated talent, but
– I've always liked him.
Eric, what do you think?
I say trash because his run wasn't that memorable, but his in WWE was much better. I say trash because it wasn't that long.
Okay, that's cool. Stevie, what do you think?
I think his run was short. He didn't really have one of the best wrestling careers, so. I'd probably say trash.
All right, Doug, we're going to put Stevie in trash, actually. Stevie Richards.
Her?
Yeah.
I mean, it's mainly because he wasn't there long.
Yeah, he wasn't there very long. Someone that was there for, well, a good amount of time, even though he would kind of leave and come back a lot. I'll start with you on this one, Stevie. What do you think of Meng?
Meng?
Meng.
I would probably say very good because he did have a good wrestling career. So I'd probably go very good for Meng.
All right. Eric?
Yeah, I would say very good too. He had a good run.
All right.
I mean, he's an animal.
Yeah.
He's an animal, and he's more of he had a really good run.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was start and stop and start and stop. But, I mean, especially when he got to the singles run. No, it seemed like nobody could stop. So I'm going to say very good.
Okay. Would have been very good then. I'd have to agree. He's a vicious son of a bitch, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So
yep.
Hold on. Talk
about you don't want to mess with.
So he doesn't try to come here and kill us all.
Now, another ECW guy who you might not remember, I remember, Hardcore Hack, Dougie, the Sandman.
Oh, God.
His little tenure.
This was a garbage run. And I'm sorry, but it was a garbage run just because it was so stupid. I mean, and they gave him chastity, you know. It's just, I didn't enjoy any, I mean, the stuff he did with Knobs was okay, but other than that, this was garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree, Doug.
Me too.
I'm actually going to disagree.
Okay. I thought 33-1.
Well, I know it doesn't matter anymore, but I liked Hack, and I liked, I mean, it wasn't what he did at ECW, but it also wasn't Jerry Lynn to where it was so watered down you don't even know who he is. He was still the Sandman.
Yeah.
They're still doing Sandman stuff. Unfortunately,
yeah.
I think his run was kind of victim. At the time, that's when they were really going with the who was the person called that was in there? Like, WCW had to stop him from being rated R, like WWE.
Oh, standards and practices?
Yeah, that's when they were really going hard with the standards and practices team. So I don't think he really got to be his full raunchy self either.
No, because even though the WWF was getting more raunchy at the time, standards and practices, like you said, were telling Bischoff, you know, now you have to be careful now. You know, you can't do this, you can't do that. We have to gear back towards kids. And then, of course, in 2000, Vampiro set Sting on fire.
So I wouldn't, I wouldn't call the run trash, but we can put him there because it seems like that's where he's going to go anyway. Stevie, I'm going to start with you on this next one. Laparca.
Laparca?
Hurry up.
Well, I'd probably say nah, really. So that, I'd probably say nah.
Yeah, I mean, he had some good matches, but I agree with you. I don't think – I mean, when you think of the top luchadors, you think of Rey and Eddie and them. I don't know if you're thinking of Laparca.
Well, as in the luchadors, I wouldn't put him as number one on the list. I'd probably put either Eddie or Rey Mysterio as number one on the list. He'd probably be at the bottom. You know what I mean?
Okay. So,
I'd say nah.
Okay, cool. Eric, what do you think?
I don't remember him, so I'll just say trash with Stevie.
All right. Dougie? Laparca.
I wasn't really a fan. I like Psychosis more than I like Laparca. So I'm just going to say middle of the road.
Yeah, I'll agree. I mean, I'll say middle of the road, too, so we'll put it on that borderline.
Middle of the road, man.
Yeah. Because I do think for a bigger luchador, he wasn't bad. But, I mean, he didn't. I mean, he obviously wasn't as good as the talent around him.
Right.
All right, Eric, we're going to start with you. Mark Jindrak.
I don't remember that name, but I guess I'll say meh.
Or, Dougie, Mark Jindrak?
Well, he's not wrong.
No, he's not.
It was, it was the dying days, and it was this whole natural born thrillers thing, which was just, it was stupid. I mean, he wasn't even the best one of the thrillers. The best one of the thrillers was had to be either Palumbo or O'Hare.
He seemed to have potential, though, at the time.
At the time, yeah. And then WWE tried stuff with him. It didn't work.
Where are you going to put him?
I'm going to put him just in... I'm actually going to put him in garbage.
Stevie?
I'd say trash. Yeah, I would go with trash.
All right, same thing as garbage, right?
Yeah. Poor Jindrak. All right, put him in.
Yeah.
Garbage. Garbage. Garbage.
Oh, God.
All right.
All the guys we put in garbage are all guys that are still alive, too, that we can actually have on the show.
Okay, well, how about this? Chris Benoit. That's a transition.
Who are we starting with?
I'll say very good.
Eric. All right.
And very good.
I'll say very good.
How to get to that legendary status in WCW.
Yeah, he won the world title, though, his last day.
His last day, yeah. And that was a Kevin Sullivan move, which nobody really agreed with because it's just like, dude, He fucked your wife. It's just like, he fucked your wife. Therefore, like, you should, like, Mike Graham actually said to Kevin Sullivan at the time, and Mike Graham has even admitted this, he goes, you shouldn't push him, you should kill him. Like, he needs to be murdered. There you go. Mike Graham's already dead now, so nothing can be done about it. But there you go. Mike Graham did it in 2007. If Mike Graham had already...
No, he didn't. All right, keep going. What do you think about
Mike Graham was a piece of shit anyway. All right. Benoit, I'm going to say very good.
Stevie?
Mike Graham did it?
Oh. As a wrestler, I'd probably say, I'd say very good. Very good as a wrestler.
All right.
Benoit's going in very good. I mean, yeah, his work there was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. One of the nicest people in wrestling. Good friend of Dougie's. Always treated him with love and respect. Disco Inferno.
Oh, God. He was nice when I met him in person. He just bullied me online. Him and Bushwhacker Luke are going to be touring together. Because Disco's already with Bushwhacker's manager. Who are we starting with?
You.
Oh.
We never actually gave a proper cue.
Yeah, it did.
As a gimmick, it was stupid. But he somehow, we don't know how, but he somehow got it over. Which he shouldn't have, but he did. And with that being said, because he got it over, it's definitely, I would say it's a middle of the road, mediocre gimmick.
Well, middle of the road. What do you think, Eric?
I say middle of the road too. His theme song was catchy. Disco Inferno.
All right, Steve, I think
I did the first two words.
I would have to say middle of the road, but I never really liked the gimmick that much, but I'd say middle of the road.
Okay. All right, moving on. Ric Flair. We'll start with you, Eric.
How can you not say legendary? I mean, his WCW run was probably one of his best runs. I mean, 95 to... Yeah, I would say legendary because it's Ric Flair. He's a nature boy. Even that run, the 95 to 2000, was pretty good. Four Horsemen.
All right. Stevie?
Yeah, I'd say legendary. He had some good matches in WCW and the WWF, so I'd say legendary.
All right, Dougie?
I don't like Ric Flair, but this run, I mean, it was a legendary run in WCW, so I will say legendary. I do think that some parts of his career are overrated. This part, not really. And especially like there's this one episode of Nitro. It was the night after Starrcade 98, and he strips down to his boxers because he's waiting for Bischoff to come out and like accept his challenge.
Yeah.
And he handcuffs himself to the ropes after he strips himself down. He said, Bischoff, he goes, I swear to God, he goes, you go to a break, you turn that camera back on, I'll be naked. And Larry Zbysko goes, don't, he's not bluffing. He'll do it. Like that stuff was just entertaining to me. Not that I really want to see Ric Flair naked. But no, it's a legendary run.
Yeah, I agree. Legendary. I don't think this is the best time in his career, but I do think he did a lot, especially for the younger talent, helping people get over.
I think a lot of his best stuff was when he was president of WCW. And, Jesus Christ. We just had an elephant walk through here. When he was president, and then he started getting all corrupt with power and shit.
Yeah.
All right, put him in legendary.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, and I'll toss it to you first, Doug, Perry Saturn.
Had they, you know, kind of gotten away from all the older guys and started pushing the younger guys, Saturn would have been a star.
Think so?
Yeah. I mean, look at what he did, like, towards the, you know, towards the middle and end of 98. and where they were going with him.
Yeah.
I mean, Fall Brawl 98 as a pay-per-view as a whole fucking sucked. They had that convoluted War Games bullshit. Even though DDP got a nice moment there. The highlight of the show was Perry Saturn and Raven. Okay? And with that being said, I think it was... I think they really held him back. Because they really held him back, I can only say that his run was middle of the road. Even though I like Saturn.
All right. So you go middle of the road?
Yeah.
Okay. Stevie?
Well, I probably go middle of the road.
All right.
Same.
All right. Middle of the road. You want to do a speed round now, Doug? So we can get through a lot of these and eat dinner?
Yeah. Sorry, Clintus.
We're hungry.
During feeding time.
Yeah. All right. You guys ready for
and
the
Doug,
speed?
And Doug, we have work tomorrow, so.
Well, yeah.
Ready for the speed round?
Yeah. Can we do a part two of this at some point? Or are we going to be able to, or?
You want to? I mean, I can.
Did we miss a lot of it?
If the speed round not that big.
I mean, if you need to make the speed, if you want to make the speed round that big, that's fine. I'm just saying.
Well, we'll keep the list, and then we'll go for, like, all the years and the NWA and stuff, too.
That'll work.
Okay. Yeah.
But we'll definitely touch on more of these, cause, and I'll leave a couple out on purpose. So I'll leave the ones that we really want to talk about. We'll start the speed round right now, though. A couple names. Psychosis.
I thought he was very good. He was my favorite of the Luchadors.
I'll say very good.
I'd say very good.
Okay. Barry Windham.
When he got here, ooh, he was at. So I'm going to say garbage. Like when he got back in 98. And I like Barry Windham. But here it was just the whole when he joined the NWO, he was out of shape, and the whole West Texas redneck thing, it didn't work.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say garbage.
Yeah, this WCW run is garbage.
I'd say garbage.
All right. How about three count?
Yeah, I'd say nah.
All right. The dog face gremlin, Rick Steiner.
I love this son of a bitch. I'm going to say, I'm going to say legendary.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't.
Well, fuck you.
What do you think, Stevie?
He'll bite you in the ass.
I'd say legendary.
Okay. All right.
I'd say very good. Very good.
He's right. But, I go very good, too, so we can put him on that.
You wouldn't buy a house for
him?
I mean, he's a realtor.
You wouldn't buy a house for him? All right, couple more names, and then we'll save the rest for a part two. Billy Kidman.
Very good.
Middle of the road.
All right.
Very good.
All right. Very good.
Very good.
Goldberg.
Legendary.
Accomplished. It's got to be legendary.
Legendary.
Yeah. Put him in legendary. And then last but not least, Rowdy Roddy Piper.
I'm just going to say good.
I'm going.
I would say middle of the road.
I'd say legendary.
And that's no disrespect to the Piper.
So me and Stevie say legendary. You say very good.
Well, it's 2-1-1, so.
All right, legendary.
I'm just going by based off the 95-2000 stuff.
So. Oh, that's fine. Does anyone else have anything they want to add before we pop out here?
No. Except for sorry,
no,
yeah, sorry, Clinton.
All right, guys. Well, enjoy the rest of your weekend, guys. Thanks for joining us, Stevie, Eric. We appreciate it, and we'll see.
We will do a part two with them.
Right? Yeah.
Okay. Probably on Patreon, right?
Huh? Patreon?
We'll do that one for the Patreon.
We could, yeah.
Right, yeah, because there's a lot to still get to. It's just you and I are hungry.
Yeah. All right, guys.
I am too, so.
Have a good one. I hope everyone had a good holiday. And enjoy your week.
You too.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye, Jamie. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Want to break the story, Eric? You're still there, right?